Welcome, everyone. I greet you in love, and I give you my peace. I met with Father this past Monday, and this is what he had to say. Dear Team Triland, I am thankful to see all of you in the meeting. I know your hearts were, and some still are, filled with doubt. Why did I not make the announcement? Firstly, I do not owe anyone an explanation of my actions. I will, however, give you a little insight. During the service with the Chief Apostle, many things changed at the center of the service. For some time now, the Holy Spirit has been fighting with the brothers in the United States to bring my word. On this particular day, he did not have to fight. The Chief Apostle was open and fluid to my word, which struck the hearts of all those who gathered that morning, seen and unseen. I felt in my heart that the announcement would disrupt all of this. And through the Chief Apostle, I was able to lay many seeds that in the past I would not have had the opportunity to do so. One in particular, do not connect yourselves to the man, but create a relationship with Jesus. Have you ever heard that come from the altar before? Or the Chief Apostle's statement at the end of the service that he is no greater than any other person who has their struggles as well. All of this is the beginning of my plan to change my children's hearts and allow them the time to accept Triland and you, his team, and all that you will bring. You will all be teachers. I know you all struggled. Please know that I am always going to test all of you. No one gets a break from my testing, and I will always test you in your strengths, not your weaknesses. Do not glare at me in anger when I am simply trying to teach you something. You all know this. Should I be a father who turns a blind eye to bad behavior like this world does, or encourage bad behavior and allow it to continue? I cannot. Why? Because my love for you is much too strong. Plus, my expectation of you is greater than that I hold up to measure the world. You again, team, have been taught a deeper understanding of faith and how eternity, myself, Jesus, and HS work, have you not? You all have an insight to your own gifts and purpose. Who else has that kind of information but all of you? Again, I am not building up your egos. I am teaching you once again. Can I share with you a fear my son Triland had? He thought that maybe one of you would leave him. I told him that none of you would leave, that all of you would stay and continue to stand by his side and serve me. Now, am I a liar? I think not. I will say this to all of you. It is time to get back to work. Triland has a list he will share with you about this point. For some time now, you have been all lax. I have given all of you the time to grow, heal, and learn about yourselves. Have you been paying attention to this process? I would never hurt you intentionally, but I will always correct you and lead you into the truth of who you are and what I know you can do. All of you continue to look at yourselves as just regular human beings. You have been selected from billions throughout all of time. I have raised you, taught you, and given you gifts that some of you still neglect. You tell me you just do not have the time. Should I show you in your life where that time lies? Should I carve it out for you? Force you to do the job I selected you to do? Look back in history and see all those who did not do as I asked. I have brought this to your attention before. I do not like speaking to you in this way because your hearts, or in your hearts, you think I am threatening you. I am not. I am trying to move you closer to complete my plan. We do not have time to work on your earthly existence and neglect my spiritual plan any longer. How much time a week do you spend doing what you want compared to what my son Triland and I are asking you to do? Be honest with yourselves because I already know the answer. Is all this too much for you? How much time do you spend watching TV, a movie, reading, playing a video game, going out, talking on the phone, or texting someone? If you have time to do that, you cannot find a few moments to work for me too? This younger generation wants the world to believe that they work harder than anyone before them and they are much more busier. They are correct about one of those points because they waste more time doing what I just listed out than actually doing something worthwhile. Wait, was that a judgment? Yes, it was. I can make judgments, you cannot. Satan has worked hard on this generation than any other generation. He gives them this false sense of accomplishment and entitlement that they are not doing anyway. Why do you think I have shortened the time? I will tell you, because there are not enough people who care to do my work. The generations that wanted to do my work are growing old and dying off. This is why I have always chosen a small group throughout all of time periods to carry out portions of my plan. Are you starting to see what I am saying? You team, that group is in this period. You will work hand in hand with the apostolate once I rebuild the ranks. Yes, many will leave once the announcement takes place. But I am building the foundation now, shoring it up so the church will not fall. You 12, with your helpmates, are also part of this foundation. Does it have cracks in it because of you? Wake up. I need you to keep your vow and make time to work my plan. Please do as I am asking of you. It is not too much. Stop listening to the current generation and all the world would have you to believe. It is filled with false information. You all know better. You know my will and my heart, and you know I love you. Now let us all get back to work. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is kind of that.
I've got a question.
All right.
I know we kind of said you were having some issues with one of the congregations, and you said kind of stay away. Is it something we should get back to full time?
Yeah.
Okay.
There isn't some way that you and I can change policy in the congregation. But in this list that Father has brought to your attention that I have, I make the point, and I would like to discuss with everybody, our activity in the congregation. Do we just show up for the services? Are we actually taking a part? Do we participate in either the choir, small groups, one of the committees? On some level, are we there trying to make an impact in some way to show our faith? Because I'll be honest, you and I saying something to the leaders, they're not going to listen to us. But if we can get in there and help out in some way, for instance, in a small group, if we're part of a small group and there's a conversation going on and we can pepper it with some of the things that you and I know from Father, now we're doing Father's will. Now we're doing something for him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
I just, I guess feel a little tarnished trying to get, you know, you feel beat down and tarnished. And it's kind of hard to, it's hard to get back to it, but I understand that we have to, so.
I would use Jesus as the best example. That guy got the crap knocked out of him constantly, but he didn't give up.
True. Guess it like you came up in service today, just as they drag you out to the cliff, just turn and walk away from the cliff and through them.
Correct.
But the other part you think about when you're announced and the work changes the way that it's going to, all of those who are around us will look back at what we did during this time and the past years and all. And it's really important that they look back and say, you know, their faith never wavered. I mean, they had some issues and things, but they got through it, whatever they saw, whatever they see. And so we have to be who we are.
I think the key is where Triland mentioned and Father mentioned about being teachers. We must serve in humility. You know, we must be examples in all the congregations that we're in, regardless of whether the situation is bad, trust me, I've been in a bad situation, but I always helped. I always supported. I always was trying to find a way to serve our Heavenly Father, you know, and it wasn't because, oh, look at me, but it's, we're supposed to be servants of our Heavenly Father. As His children and Christians, we're supposed to help out. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean that you have to walk in and go, I'm going to take over this whole congregation, and these are the things that are going to have to change. No.
Exactly right.
Being a smile, a helping hand to an older brother or sister or a child, giving love to everyone that surrounds us, and finding a teachable moment, that is the key that we must do, is when a teachable moment comes, that we, in humility, as a servant of God, we teach and we're able to support. Like Triland mentioned, we can go into small groups and you know, help along. But if we walk around with this subservient attitude or the sourpuss face, then there's no way they can actually see us as the servant of God that we should be. We must love God's children. We're supposed to uplift God's church. And, you know, it's difficult at times. Trust me. Triland knows exactly all the stuff that I went through. But it never made me bitter towards the members, bitter towards the ministers. You know, you carry on your cross, you know. And just because we are servants of God doesn't mean that we're not going to have a cross to bear. Just like the chief apostle mentioned about not being excluded with all the trials and the tribulations that he has to go through.
Correct.
There was a great example today in service. Our cousin, Priest Porter, brought up a real story. I want to get a print of it. The synopsis basically was a guy was going to get mugged. The kid took his wallet and goes, hey, you know, it's cold out. Let me give you my coat because it looks like you're going to be out all night doing this. And the kid just stopped and went, what? And the story goes on, and I'll try to find a print because it was really great. The point, though, at the end, it tied in with the text where Priest Porter said, look, this guy didn't use Bible verse. This guy didn't quote text. He didn't bring up Jesus or God. He lived his life and made an example for this young man and changed his life. And he goes, and this was just 10 years ago. He goes, it's not 2000. It's not scripture. He goes, this guy lived his life to the point where a bad situation didn't turn into anything other than, well, a good situation, and he actually turned this kid's life around. I thought how pointed that was. I mean, you know, here we are living our life, and just being examples is what we need to be. And Triland said, helping out the congregation, it's difficult because where do we stick our lives in? Where do we put ourselves into it? But even in my situation, being in a new congregation, I got to figure out some work to fit me in, right? I'm down here for a reason. So I think it's a great word that well, hopefully the list is something that will be shared next. But I think it's a great opportunity for us now. I feel revitalized, honestly, after the chief service. It seems like there's something changed. We're now at a different step, I guess.
You're correct. I was talking with Starlight this week, and I also saw Lightstar last weekend, and I said to both of them, I've thought of maybe changing the team name from Team Triland to Team Cakewalk, because we've all had such easy lives, everything's so perfect for all of us, and we never have any struggles, right? So I think we're just going to make that happen very shortly here. Yeah, that's a joke. And as Father said, none of us are immune to his testing, and it struck my heart when Father said, do not look at me. Let me see what he said there. Hang on, because I just want to bring this out for a minute. Do not glare at me in anger when I am simply trying to teach you something. I will raise my hand and say to you, there are many times where I have looked at Father and said, are you kidding me? Can you give me a break? Now what? Right? I'll be the first one to admit that I do not like Father's testing. I don't appreciate his methods. I have told him up front many times I never will, so he knows that. But I will say after those moments, I can look back and say, I'm a moron. Now I see what you were trying to show me. Now I understand what you're trying to teach me. I guess what I'm trying to admonish everyone is that when Father puts us in a precarious situation, it's not to smack us down or punish us. It is for us to see what it is that you and I can change. How often have we said to him, and I recently said it to him personally, I know I have a lot of shortcomings. I'm pretty sure I have a pretty good understanding of what they all are, but I'm pretty sure there might be one or two that I'm not aware of. Could you please show those to me too? And then give me the courage and strength to actually overcome them. How active are we in our own walk of faith is the first thing I want to talk about. How much are you and I trying to change ourselves? It's easy for us to look around. It's easy for us to judge. Sometimes we sit in a service and we think to ourselves, are you kidding me? They're saying the exact same thing again. These services are just not that meaty, I'll say. Have you thought for a moment, my dear friends, that there are millions of people from eternity that are now sitting in that service and they have never once heard anything about Jesus? Ever. They've never heard of the patriarchs. They have never heard of any of the things that are our faith. So if you're sitting in a service and you're thinking to yourself, this is a galactic waste of my time, do not think that, please. No service is a waste of time. Or maybe you've had the thought, I really don't know why they have this brother serve because I'm not getting anything from him. We need to all stop judging these brothers, and I'll tell you why. Because there's a lot of them that don't know what you and I know. As Father said, who knows their direct purpose and their gifts like we do? Nobody does. And I'll share this with you too. If you're sitting in a service and you're feeling to yourself that maybe you're missing out or you're not getting anything verbally, I will guarantee you that you will receive exactly what you need through the body and blood of our big brother. I will guarantee you that. And if you've prepared before the service and asked Father for something special, or you've asked Jesus for a little extra something special, you will receive it if your faith is pure. And when you partake of the body and blood of Christ, you will receive it in that moment. Have you ever felt your body freckle or goose pimple when you've taken the wafer? That is a proof to you, it should be, that you now have received something extra. We received 50 times the strength today. I pleaded with Jesus because I know in my heart how tired I am. And it's not just a physical tired, although Starlight and I have been discussing that. It's also a mental fatigue and a spiritual weariness, which I've never used those words before. Now I understand what they are. And usually that's because we're battling something. And now that evil's been released for a week now, I don't know about you, but I am finding I am getting more irritated very quickly over the stupidest little things, and I know it's because of them. We have to maintain. We have to control our emotions. Does anybody have any questions or points or something they'd like to share about what we just discussed?
I would say also, in your preparation for when you're coming into a service and you know who's going to serve or coming into it, making sure that if you feel like you're not getting something in the service or you're sitting there listening to it and you're going, well, that doesn't seem, you know, like it's that meaningful, or to make sure that you think about, you know, pull something away from the service that struck you and just focus on that instead of focusing on the things that don't mean something to you or you don't feel like really, you know, you're instead of looking for negative things, you know, don't go in there looking or sniffing for something that, you know, isn't right. Try to look for things that are good.
It's not only that, but also what is it mentions in Acts 2:42? It mentions about being breaking of bread, being in the fellowship of the congregation as well. Listening to the word coming off the service, off the altar, is part of being in the community, thriving in a congregation. We must have that fellowship with our brothers and sisters, and it doesn't mean that we have to go to someone's house or sit down and eat coffee and cake after service. It's that fellowship that we must know how it feels to be amongst the bride of Christ, because we shall be like him. And as that congregation, as that body of Christ, we must know that feeling. Sometimes the services are kooky. You know, sometimes you're like, it's not working, or, you know, I remember this old story that the District Apostle Krauss mentioned, actually it was the District Apostle Wagner, and he mentioned about how the District Apostle Krauss was serving, and he was just serving, like, really chopping, and what it was is that, you know, a member saw that the Holy Spirit was pouring the word in too fast, and the District Apostle couldn't put it out quick enough, and it was just confusing. And so sometimes that occurs. Sometimes the Holy Spirit gives too much to a servant, and it kind of comes out weird, you know. It kind of comes out choppy. But we're there in the fellowship of the congregation, and that's also something that we must understand as well, the importance of the fellowship of the congregation and the breaking of bread.
Thank you.
I want to add something to that real quick, if I could.
Go ahead.
Last week we were in, we meaning the Push family and myself were in Jacksonville. Sam held and we went as a family. And it's so weird. There were two, sorry, I was coughing. There's two sisters from Sam's old congregation that knew him and his parents from Jersey. In that congregation, there was a brother that was going back to Mentor, Ohio, for where the Ryback family used to vacation. And it was funny, we were all just talking afterwards, and here we are, we know no one, right? There's no one, but how wonderful the fellowship was afterwards, because usually the director said everybody just kind of splits, right, after, and everybody just goes, because it's a Sunday, it's a nice day. He said it was interesting to see how everybody just kind of hung out, because they wanted to meet everybody, because there were a lot of different members that had never been around. We were all back, but it was like a mishmash, so... I love that. It was a wonderful feeling where the fellowship was felt. And even after that, even when we left, there were still people standing there, and it was an hour after service was done. And there was only like 20 people there, that which is odd for a small congregation, but it was wonderful to have that fellowship.
Great. I would like to stay in that vein too. When you and I go to church, we can't look at everybody else that, because we know more, we're better than anybody else, and we can't hurry up to get Father's Word and then just get the heck out of there. These are our brothers and sisters. These are the people that you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives and existence with, and our goal is, firstly, we're supposed to be protecting them. We're supposed to be teaching them. And if you want to think to yourself, what is the ultimate servant? We can always look at Jesus as the best example, because he said they're going to know your mind because of your works, which again brings me to my other point of how active are we in the congregation. You're going to have to find some way to fit yourself in. For myself, because I'm never really around on the weekends, I've decided I'm going to join a small group. I hear that there actually are so many in the Chicagoland area that I can't, you know, if I throw a dart at the board, I can't miss one. So now I just need to have HS guide me to the correct one where I can just sit and listen. If we're standing there, my dear friends, with the intent that you and I have something to say, that's wrong. We have something to learn too, and we can learn from even a small child, as it was even said, okay? I need you also to understand something, too. You are responsible for your own development. We can't look at the brothers, and we can't look at the church and go, well, what are you going to do for me? I'm not getting enough here. I need you to prepare more for the services. I need a little more meat HS. Why are you slacking off? It isn't somebody else's fault when you and I don't have a deep understanding of our own faith. I'll throw this out there. Who do you know outside of our circle who has the opportunity to stand in front of Father and have a conversation with him, or Jesus, or the 10 archangels? Who? Nobody. I can tell you this, the chief apostle doesn't even get that opportunity. for me, I sat in that moment when HS revealed that to me, and I got very humble, and I got very small inside of myself, and I got very emotional. This is our Father, the guy who created everything, is giving you and I an opportunity to come and talk to him. Or, if we're smart, we'll shut up and let him talk to us. So, how is it that you and I don't have the opportunity to increase our own faith? There's the monthly service guide that we get from Aquos now. There's no reason why you and I can't find a few minutes to page through it before each service. Even when we don't have service on a Wednesday night, I read it that day so that we can so I can find out what I'm missing out on, because I'll be honest, I think we're getting gypped here in the States. Granted, the small groups are supposed to be filling that kind of void, but nothing fills Father's Word. I don't care who you are. Two, we got church periodicals, and then there's this thing called the Bible I've heard about that's full of a bunch of stuff. You know, you could read that too.
It doesn't end too well. I'm not too sure about that. It ends horribly.
It does. I don't want to ruin it for you, but Satan did it in the garden with a piece of fruit. So there you go. Everybody knows now. It's important that you and I make some time to spend time with Father, to deepen our own spiritual understanding, and to actually have a conversation with Father. Okay? Does anybody have any questions?
I just have a comment.
Okay.
And the thing is that when we're involved in the work of our Heavenly Father, we are surrounded by love, we are surrounded by joy, we are surrounded by peace, and we are surrounded by hope. And that alone, immerse yourself in the work, and you will see, regardless of how bad your day will be, when you allow yourself to put your hand to the plow in our Heavenly Father's vineyard, when you get done, you will get a breath of fresh air, joy, peace, and love, as opposed to criticizing, you know?
Yes.
It's a beautiful work. It's a beautiful work. And just all we have to do is just take the step to go into it.
Someone else had a comment?
I was just going to say, a huge part of my development, or at least my enthusiasm for my development over the last several years, has been talking with my teammates. They have an incredible amount of knowledge, an incredible amount of experience, spiritual experience, scriptural experience. We have people on the team that know the Bible well, that know history well, that know our catechism really well. And by having conversations with teammates and just talking about some of these concepts and expanding perspectives. And quite frankly, just talking about God, all of our favorite subject, brings such an enormous amount of joy and strength and peace that, in addition to, you know, all of the other opportunities we have, I mean, like you said, meeting with God, meeting with Jesus, meeting with the Holy Spirit, meeting with the archangels, working with your own internal team, calling your teammates, reading the monthly service guide, church periodical, scripture, we have so much, and I understand some people could be saying, oh my gosh, that list that was just read off is so incredibly large, but even starting out by tapping into one of those things or two of those things, starting there, the momentum just goes in such a positive direction. I can honestly say that I have grown so much in talking with teammates about a service, about a piece of scripture. God always enters our conversations, so I highly encourage people to take advantage of the fact that we've got teammates that are absolutely incredible.
Amen.
Hey, Trylan, a couple of things about small groups.
Yeah.
I know that people are probably all over the board concerning small groups, and we know that eventually we'll get the divine services back. Right now, what we have is small groups. And what I am finding is that those who are involved in it are growing.
You're breaking up, Q. We can't hear you.
Those who are involved in small groups in our congregation, you can see active growth. It's really nice. And everyone who is it's awesome when you see them have an aha moment where they think, oh, that way. Well, you've got to work on that. in this month especially, we're emphasizing or diving into the Sermon on the Mount. And it's really nice, the things that are being learned. So I know that it's difficult for a lot of people to get into it. And the sad part is the facilitator probably isn't the best necessarily, but the subject matter is good, and it's really a way for us all as children of God to learn how to talk about our faith. And that's really the way that we approach it. And as guardians, there's so much knowledge, wisdom, understanding, experience of faith, and if we attend those and little by little give them a couple of nuggets, it's amazing how you see they just light up.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. I wanted to discuss healings for a brief moment. Starlight and I had the opportunity last weekend to give two people healings. I've been giving healings for over 15 years, and none of them are ever the same for anyone. Granted, I would like you to perform them the way I taught you, and there's a reason why that is, but I will tell you that there are some very favorite moments in a healing that I will never get tired of, and I wanted to share that with everybody. The first thing for me is when the person gets emotional, because then that proves to me that we are doing our job, because now we've struck a nerve with this person, and HS has revealed things to us that we should know about that person, that they now have our trust. The other favorite part for me is when we get to the crown chakra and Father has something to say. For me, it's a very humbling moment to be his mouthpiece. Have you ever stopped for a moment and thought about that? The brothers who stand behind the altar are the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit. For you and I, when we're giving a healing, we are Father's mouthpiece. Do you have any idea how humbling that should be for you and me? You cannot ever view a healing as just some basic thing that just takes place. It's no big deal. There's nothing special about it. It is one of the most intimate moments that you and I can share with someone, and then Father can share with a believing soul, and you and I get to be the middleman for that person. And what's even more special is when you sit across from that person and they're crying at the end of the healing, and they look at you and they say, "I had no idea Father felt that way." It's in that moment that you and I get as close to heaven as we can. I promised myself I wouldn't cry. But that's how it should be, my dear brothers and sisters, my teammates. How excited do we get that we're guardians? I think we've lost that edge. I think we've allowed ourselves to get lulled into the mundane that is this human existence, and we've told ourselves that until Triland gets announced, I'm just going to go through the paces. Well, dag nabbit, Father said tonight we can't anymore. We have to get off our butts, and we have to do something. And when you and I are having a conversation with somebody, that is not the same as giving a healing. And someone said to me recently, "I didn't know I was supposed to be offering healings to people." If you and I are having a moment of faith, sharing faith with somebody, and they're sharing with us a difficulty that they're having or a physical ailment that they're experiencing, it's in that moment that a little red flag should go up and you should say to this person, "Have you ever heard of an energy healing? Try it." And if they look at you like you're smoking crack, well, then say, "Okay, well, all right, never mind." But if they look at you and go, "No," and you say, "Are you interested?" and they'll say yes, and then you can move forward. Okay? Our function is to help teach, and teaching help happens in a moment where somebody is open, and it's the Holy Spirit who moves this person's heart. There's no, what I want to say, it's not a coincidence that you and I have been placed in front of certain people, or you and I experience things on a daily basis. Everyone seems to be so surprised. You know, it's always the service, the preparatory service of the departed and the service of the departed, where they feel that it's that they're the most susceptible and open to the idea where somebody says to them, hey, so-and-so passed away. Hey, this aunt of mine passed away. Wake up, people. That happens every day, but maybe you and I aren't paying attention. I have people all around me constantly saying, oh, I just heard so-and-so passed away, or this person had a problem, and, or this one got hit by a car. Last 4th of July, a coworker of mine said a 5-year-old girl drowned at the lake they were at. These things are tragic, and it's not a coincidence that you and I are hearing these things. It's our responsibility to protect the Bride of Christ. This little 5-year-old girl is going to be part of the Bride of Christ. I just know it in my heart. So it's my responsibility to pray for her. You and I have got to wake up, and we have to get back to the basics. Does anybody have any questions? Any comments? Okay.
Can we mute the phones? Because I'm hearing wind noise.
Sure. I don't know who's got
resistance. Okay. Unless someone I'm flying in the air.
Hang on. It could be me. I'm in a very windy room. Hang on. Get my phone to unlock. They'll mute me.
Okay.
So I have a comment, Tryland. You used Dag Nabbit, and I knew you were pretty passionate about the subject when you pulled that out.
I almost said something else.
Yeah, I can tell.
Consarnet would have been the other choice.
Right.
My friends, we need to just get back into it like Father said. I am feeling his frustration with us. I'll be honest with you. When I took his message and there was again this gentle reprimand, I literally looked at him and went, come on. Really? We got to hear this again? And then I went, yeah, apparently. And even as he said, I do not like using this tone because you think I'm threatening you. I've seen Father stand up from his throne and walk at me when he was mad. You don't want to experience that ever. And he's trying to help you and I be the best guardians that we can be. For who? For him and those he wants to bring home. We keep forgetting that, I think. We try to make everything about us. It isn't about us ever, my friends. You got to turn this whole thing around, and we need to constantly remind ourselves, which I've been doing all week, you know what? It's not about me. It's about him. We got to make everything that we do about him. Because when we do that, then things don't become too much for us. I want to discuss also the basics of meditation. I know that some of you haven't been meditating, or some of you have been struggling with meditation. I emailed you all the links and passwords to get into my site where you can listen to the recordings. If you would like me to email you the meditation 101 guide on how to just do the basics, I can do that too. We all have got to meditate weekly, at least once or twice, okay? Running energy is not meditation. And if you can get inside of the center of your mind, you can go see Father, or you can spend some time with your guardian, with your counseling angel. It'll do you a world of good. There's so much that you and I need to do. Are we still reading the scrolls Father put in our heart? I mean, here's some basic things that you and I probably have forgotten of. Do we ground ourselves every day? All 7 chakras. Do we get in the center of our mind and stay there? Do we pull our aura in around ourselves? Do we then protect our aura with the rose bush or rose strand or one rose? And then do we take our pog shield and put that around ourselves completely? If you're feeling evil on a level that you don't want to and you're becoming aggravated or irritated, you can make your pog shield thicker. We've discussed that. Most of the time, our pog shield is like a 0.5 inch to 1 inch. I have at times made it at least 1 foot thick. Now, the problem with doing that is you now kind of cut yourself off from everybody that's around you, which, if you're being a crab, is probably a good thing to do. because now your energy stays inside you and you're not throwing it at somebody else. But I would not encourage that all the time. We cannot cut ourselves off from mankind. It's important that you and I, at the end of our meditation session, that after we've breathed deeply and we've let go of the things that are bothering us, that we bring our energy back. If you're in a place where you leave your energy a lot, I've tried to teach you that when you leave your work and you're driving home, pull your energy out of that business. If you're at home a lot, pull your energy out of your house. If you're at somebody else's home, don't forget to get that. If you're at church, don't forget to get that. Because that's why you and I all of a sudden become fatigued and worn out. The other biggest thing I'm going to talk to you about is something that Lightstar brought to our attention years ago. Protect your subconscious. How many times have you and I forgot to do that? And then we wake up in the middle of the night and we're having stupid dreams, trying to understand why we're riding a unicorn in our underwear eating a Twinkie. And it doesn't make any sense to us, but, you know, maybe something's playing with our subconscious. Or maybe you like those kind of weird dreams. I don't know. Choice is yours. Does everybody know the basics of meditation? Again, if you want to reach out to me in an email and say, could you please send me the sheet, or I can't find the passwords, I'm not going to berate you. Please, all right? We are all on the same level here. We all need to move forward together, and that's what Father's trying to do with us now. We're not all measuring up to the standard that he set for you and I. Does that make sense? Any questions? That's pretty much all I had. So if we want to have an open forum for the next 20 minutes, does anybody have anything they'd like to share? Some experience, some problem, heartache? Don't all yell at once. No one has anything they want to share?
I had a pretty decent experience when I was moving up to Montana. I was driving a 15-year-old pickup truck, and I was driving, and I was about to leave northern Texas, and my car broke down. And my heart just sunk because I was really looking forward to seeing my family because I haven't seen them for so long. And I was just on the side of I-35 and watching all these cars fly by me. You know, and I was like, Father, please just help me. And I just broke down and started crying because I was just so overwhelmed, you know. But when things like that happen, it's amazing to open your eyes and see, you know, it's really easy to be angry at God or be angry in general, you know. But it was amazing to see the little things that how Father allowed for restoration to occur. You know, I had a guy drive by, you know, and offer me some water, you know, gave me his phone number, asked me if I could, you know, wanted me to sit in his pickup truck, you know, with the AC because it was really hot out. And I said, no, it's okay. And then the tow truck driver was just really super and took me to, I was supposed to go to a dealership for some reason. And I thought, they're just going to rape me. And he goes, you know what, I'm just going to take you to this mechanic. And the mechanics found the issue, and it was a burned out fuel pump. And they're like, we'll take you to a hotel, you know. And they found me this, you know, really nice hotel that I was able to, you know, motel, and it was affordable. And I was praying in the morning because, you know, they checked it out, and they were going to give me a call, let me know when the vehicle was going to be ready, and it was already starting to be about 11 o'clock. And checkout for the hotel was 12 o'clock. And so I was going to be just imagining myself walking in a North Texas town with a suitcase and a cooler, you know, to get to this shop. And I prayed and I said, Father, please show me how great you are so that I can be able to praise you in this moment and throughout this day, so that I can be able to glorify your name. And as soon as I said that, the phone rang, and it was the shop, and it said, hey, your car's ready, you're good to go, you know.
And I jumped in the car, and I was like kind of leery at first because, you know, I was thinking, oh, man, I really hope that this car, you know, that they fix it well. Because sometimes you go to mechanics and, you go 1,000 times, you know. And I was able to drive home, you know, and everything was placed in a position so that I was able to receive help and leave a blessing where for each and every one of those human beings that helped me, you know. And it was such a wonderful experience of faith for me that I was able to go through this circumstance but see the silver lining through it. So that's the only thing I got to say.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, nice. You weren't like Clark Griswold in the Family Vacation?
At first I was. I called Sandy, and the good thing is when we got insurance on the truck, she's like, do you want roadside assistance? I said, yep. So I recommend that. Get roadside assistance.
Yeah.
I've also come to find that if you're using your GPS and it takes you off in some wild weirdo chase, keep your eyes open because there's always a cemetery somewhere.
That happens a lot.
Or even if you have the impression that there's a soul somewhere but you don't see a cemetery, I recently experienced that, where there was somebody that was buried in someone's backyard and they needed help. Keep yourself open. Anybody else?
You know, since we're sharing, mm-hmm. I was reading Psalms and, you know, reading about David, and, you know, we've heard over the altar many times about how David was after God's heart. And I guess I'd always just looked at that as he was very like-hearted, you know, with God. But through this last couple of weeks and meditating on Psalms and meditating on, I mean, Psalms can really teach you how to pray. If someone's having a hard time praying, I recommend going to Psalms. It'll outline exactly, you know, what your prayers can look like, what you can pray for. But anyways, what I've been meditating on over the last 2 weeks is the idea that, okay, so what is it to pursue God's heart? So in the idea of being after God's heart. You know, we've been talking several weeks about how we should act and how, you know, what we should do and how to be Christ-like. And I think that over the last 2 weeks, it became very simple to me. In fact, my children at their school, they learn this very simple prayer in preschool. And it's, I love you, Lord Jesus. I offer today all that I think, do, and say. Amen. And that's been part of my meditation as well, because we have an opportunity with our every thought, our every word, and our every action to honor and glorify God. And so that coupled with, you know, being a child of God that is after God's heart, it's really helped me to all of the time be in that space of, I have an opportunity with every thought, word, and action, with whomever I come across, with every circumstance and every situation, to honor and glorify Father, to honor and glorify Jesus. He's our fiancé. You know, we want to look good for him. He wants to brag about us. I mean, he goes to Father and argues on our behalf. And I guess I just wanted to share it, that if someone's not sure, or, you know, in a situation, or how do I do this? How do I be like God? I think I like things to be very simple. If they're not simple, it becomes difficult for me to manage. And just think about being, you know, going after God's heart in everything that we do. You know, my Oma used to teach us how to clean. She was a German woman. And even to this day, as I'm cleaning, we're blessed to have 4 toilets in our house. And, you know, I used to think it was such a pain in the butt to clean 4 toilets, especially with the amount of people that come rolling through here. And with this meditation that I've been, or focus meditation that I've been working with these last 2 weeks, man, when I clean the toilets, I don't care how disgusting they get, I'm thanking God that I actually have 4 toilets to clean. You know, some people don't even have a toilet to clean. And so just wanted to share that with everyone, because it's really been a positive help for me to stay in the zone, if for lack of a better word.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah. Brad and I went camping this weekend for our anniversary, and we each picked up these books, and his book, because he's a nerd, was a National Geographic personality, and he did a personality test in it, and it came out that his personality test was that he was, one of them came out that he had kind of a selfish nature, and there were certain things in there that he was, kind of came out that he was a follower. And, you know, I told him I thought more like a chameleon, that he was able to adapt to his surroundings. And as we started talking about it, we were talking about, you know, he was born this way, and that 50% of your personality comes from your parents, and 50% of your personality is genetically, you know, that, or 50% of it is genetics, and 50% of it is your surroundings as you're raised. And we started talking about the fact that, you know, you have to, that you can change the way that you behave. And then we started talking about church and how people start going to church and they change their behavior and the way that they are, and they reform themselves and they do different things, and what it is to be a Christian and how to be Christ-like, and that what striving for that is, and how many people actually have changed. And then we started talking about eternity, and that that change is happening on such a level that we don't even understand. And as we were sitting there, it was just kind of like this goosebump moment for us, because of the switch that has to happen in these people and their free will. And it was just like an interesting conversation for us, and how it just kept developing and switching around with us. But the free will that people have to have and give in order for them to change who they are for this path. So that's all.
Thank you.
Thanks. That's good.
Anybody else? Okay. I have asked Tranquility to pray after me. Our next meeting will be August 6th. Just a reminder, all meetings are on Sunday. It's usually the first Sunday of the month. So I appreciate everyone making the effort. If you're ready, then I will pray with you. Kind Father, we come before you, and we want to first say thank you that you have allowed us this time to bring us together in this moment. We appreciate your insight and your guidance, and we know, Father, you're always trying to teach us something. And even though, Father, we fight you sometimes and we haven't been paying attention, we apologize. As a complete team, Father, we ask now for your forgiveness for disappointing you, for hurting you by not following through with what you've asked of us. Please, Father, if you can find it in your heart, we ask that you would forgive us in this moment, that, Father, when we partake in the Holy Communion next week, Father, we can have extra strength as well. We appreciate the strength that our brother gave us today and the word that you gave us too. It sparked our hearts to understand, Father, that he was the one who went through the most, but he never let anyone take advantage of him or use him in any way. But, Father, we have our hands full. We are trying our best to be better human beings than others around us. That's not a judgment. That's just a statement, Father, that we need to work on ourselves more than we do pointing the finger at others around us. Please, Father, be kind to us. Though you know the difficulties that everybody has, the struggles that they're having. We don't need to go into details, but you know them, and we pray, Father, that you please be kind and grant what everybody needs. We appreciate the love that you have shown us through these years, that you have bound our hearts together, and even where not everybody was able to be on the call, we pray that their hearts are tied with ours as well. Provide your blessings through the week. We look forward, Father, to all that you will try to teach us this week, and that too, Father, the successes that we will have as you will test us, we will be aware of those tests, and we will look at you and smile, and we will say, thank you for the test. I hope we can say that. And Father, we will always know that you will do what's best for us, and you will keep us to grow, to move forward, Father, to be the guardian that you wish us to be. We pray, Father, according to your will. If there's something we've forgotten, then I know you'll cover it. And I ask these things in your name. Please hear us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Tranquility.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, sorry. I had my phone muted. Kind and gracious Father, we come to you and we're so thankful for this wonderful day. First of all, we could spend time in your house and hear your word, dearest Father. We were able to have our sins forgiven. We were able to celebrate Holy Communion. And then also we could come together as a team. And dearest Father, as Trilent has already mentioned, too often we take that for granted, what special gifts we have received, what spiritual insight we have received. Dearest Father, all gifts that we should share with others. That's the main thing that we need to know. Dearest Father, that we can share, that we can give freely of our love, of our gifts, of our kindness, of our understanding, that we can give them peace and strength and hope and joy. Dearest Father, we do not want to be lax in this. And we are sorry if that's what we are doing. We pray that we may have the fire and the zeal, that we may be able to move forward and to help others, not just those that are in our congregation, but also our friends and our neighbors, that they too can become a part of this bride and of this work. We pray, dearest Father, that our hearts may be right. And we also pray, please bless our fellow teammates. We are so thankful. Dearest Father, we have been through so much with them, and they have been with us. And we never want to take that friendship for granted either. And we are so thankful that your timing has been so perfect and that everything has fallen into place in such a wonderful way. Please bless us all. We pray, let us all have a good week. We're thankful for all that which you have done for us. And we pray, dearest Father, continue to bind our hearts together that we may receive peace and joy from each other, that we may receive the strength that we need. This we pray and ask you most humbly, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Love you guys.
We love you too.
Love you. Have a great week.
Love you guys.
Love you.
Bye. Love you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.